Hey guys, Sarah here. I just wanted to give a little disclaimer about this upcoming episode. I just wanted to apologize quickly for the audio. I was nearly certain that I turned off the air conditioning before I recorded, but apparently my finger missed the button or something happened because you can definitely still hear a little bit of the airflow in the background. And I was freezing the entire time. So it's all coming together now. And I do want to apologize. I will make sure I double check that in the future. On another note, you may find that I sound like an absolute toxic, manic, crazy person in this episode. And while I was having fun and being very dramatic, as I always am, it's definitely putting on a little bit of a persona. But now I'm listening back and I'm getting insecure and I'm overthinking it. Yeah, just take it with a grain of salt, everything I'm saying. I am not quite a walking red flag, maybe like a walking pink flag. I wouldn't say I'm quite red, though. So just wanted to exaggerate the nature of some of the questions, I guess. And now I'm overthinking it because I feel like I sound insane. But either way, hopefully it's entertaining and hopefully you enjoy it. So without further ado, let's get into this week's episode. Yo, yo, what's up, what's up? Welcome back to 20-somethings podcast. Welcome 20-somethings people, or if you're not in your 20s, that is fine too. I do not discriminate. My name is Sarah Birch, and I am the host of this podcast, and thank you so much for listening. I am pretty tired today. I've recently got a job that I'm absolutely loving, and I'm still teaching and choreographing as well, so I've been very busy. On top of being the world's best dog mom. So I'm booked and busy, multimedia mogul energy going on here. But of course, the podcast is tried and true. It's my passion. And I had to deliver something for my like five listeners out there. So I thought I want to do something light, easy, fun, something where I can just really take a cop out and not have to do that much thinking or research or anything like that. So I figured it just kind of came to me in a total light bulb moment. Why don't I do old Cosmo quizzes from the early 2000s and A, see if I get any useful information or wisdom from them. Sorry, Darla's humping a toy right beside me and it's a bit distracting. Or B, find out how outdated they are, if they're just super cringy, basically if they've stood the test of time in terms of if they're culturally appropriate or not. And my guess is they probably won't be, because literally the name of the first quiz I'm going to do is, drumroll please, I just actually have to find my phone, so just do a drumroll in your head. Do you know when a guy's into you? Like, what is this? Are we 14? Actually, you know, I do feel like these quizzes were geared towards 14-year-old girls who are, like, really insecure. So that's basically my energy. So let's do this quiz and see if the guy that I'm currently into is into me. All right, question one. You're grabbing a beer with your BFF when she says a hottie across the room is eyeing you. You say, A, seriously? Sweet. I'll do a drive-by the next time I hit the bar. B, I doubt it, without so much as glancing over to check him out. That is so not me. I am too cocky for that. Or C, yeah, him and every other guy here. C, big C energy over here, guys. A month after meeting your new male coworker, you notice he's Facebook friends with several of your coworkers, but not you. You, A, hold strong. He's no doubt smitten, but trying to seem nonchalant. The fact that this is Facebook just shows you how dated this is. Like, he hasn't added me on Facebook yet. Like, what? No, now it would. First of all, I don't even think I would care if a guy didn't follow me on Instagram or TikTok. I mean, I guess that is a telltale sign in today's day and age if a guy's into you, if he likes your pictures or DMs you or follows you. But it wouldn't keep me up at night by any means. Anyway, so that's A, hold strong. B, friend him. It'll only take a few posts to find out how he feels. C, avoid him at work the next day since he clearly has a problem with you. Yeah, I would do that. C, create a hostile work environment for absolutely no reason because you're following a delusion in your head that everything in the world revolves around you, even though it doesn't. It doesn't say that. That's just my addition. 3, you're hanging out with a friend and her man, and while she's in the bathroom, he gives you a kind of friendly, kind of touchy shove. You. Okay. A shove? I'm going to cause drama over a shove? I literally shove everybody. I, like, shove my male bosses at work. Like, that is the least romantic sexual thing in the world. It would be different if it was, like, a graze of the lower back or, like, you know, maybe move some hair out of your face. Those are more intimate gestures, but a shove? Anyway, I'm just going on, but Darla, we can't do this now, honey. Mommy's podcasting really important life-changing content. So, A, you pull your girl aside afterward and tell her that her boyfriend has totally crossed the line. This is my favorite episode I've ever done. B, are sure he only did it because your friend told him he has to be nice to you. Or C, let it slide. It's a first-time offense. C, I mean, I love stirring the pot more than the next girl, but, like, a shove? Nah, 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 nah. I don't even think, like, if the guy even, like, gave me a prolonged hug or something, I don't even think I would say anything. It's innocent till proven guilty, I think, in this type of situation. So I've picked C all 3 times, guys. I don't know what that says about me. Okay, 4. If you were a TV character, you would be A, Rachel from Glee, talented and adorable, but slightly misunderstood, and also kind of a psychotic bitch, but I do love Rachel. B, Serena from Gossip Girl. Like her, you pretty much radiate Zach's appeal. Well, duh. Like, ding, ding, ding. C, Jacqueline from The Real Housewives of New Jersey, because you'll talk to anyone. Wait, like, I'm literally all 3 of these. I'm talented, adorable, radiate sex appeal, and chatty Cathy. How do I pick all 3 of these? I think I'm going to go with B, at the risk of sounding like a total narcissist. But I do really vibe with Blake Lively. Okay, last question. While checking the missed connections on Craigslist, bracket, it's a guilty pleasure, bracket, you usually, A, think about how crazy it would be if a couple actually met through one of them. B, keep an eye out for listings describing the outfit you wore that day or your gorgeous smile. Narcissist behavior. C, wish a guy would do something romantic for you. So, because I listen to so much true crime, and the episode I literally listened to today was about a woman who had her baby cut out of her because she met up with a random chick on Craigslist, I'm not going to think that that's romantic. I don't find that romantic by any means. Just have the balls to, like, come up to me and talk to me and ask me on a date, or just maybe even send flowers to my office. Something like that is, to me, a little bit more romantic than just, like, a creepy anonymous Craigslist ad. But I am going to go for B because I am slightly narcissistic, and I probably would be reading every single Craigslist ad for missed connections thinking they were secretly talking about me. Like, they'd be like, that girl with the blue sweater. I'm like, okay, well, technically I was wearing green, but, like, it could have been misconstrued for blue, like, in the right lighting. Okay, wait, guys, I have to figure out how to calculate these numbers. Give me a second. Wait, guys, I'm actually devastated. I just figured out how to count. And this is what my, I guess, diagnosis is. Confident but clueless. Yo, that's actually so accurate. Darla? You're one fierce female, okay? Yeah, this is probably going to be dead on. But assuming you bring every guy to his knees can backfire. You're projecting onto men how you view yourself rather than gauging... Darla! Look what you've done. Rather than gauging how they really feel. Papa Dupalu says... Wait, who's that? That... That means you're probably less than perceptive in other stages of your relationship as well. To get a more accurate read, use your girls as a gut check. Explain his exact man moves and ask, don't tell. if he's sending off a digging you vibe. Soon, you'll be able to tell without their help. I'm 26 and I still can't tell. But thanks for your advice, Papa Deleuze, whoever you are. Yo, I hate how gender assumptive, if that's a word. I think that's a word. These quizzes are. Like, it's all man-woman. Man-woman, man-woman. Heteronormative sexuality. I don't know if they still do Cosmo quizzes, but if they do, I would really hope that it is a little bit more inclusive of different people, different personalities, and different experiences in life, and different identities. Okay, are you guys ready for number two? This one is called, Are You Enough of a Bad Girl? Oh my god. Guys, I'm acting a bit crazy. I've had one glass of wine, and I'm having the time of my life. This is the best idea I ever had for a podcast. I should do a whole podcast just doing Cosmo quizzes. Let me know, guys, in the ratings, reviews, Instagram comments, if that is a podcast that you would like to listen to. Okay, are we ready? Are we ready? Number one, rumors swirl that your ex has been talking trash about you to mutual friends. Oh, here we go. How do you respond? A, by lying low for a few weeks, you won't descend to his level. Well, can scratch that one off already. I always go lower than they go. B, by sending him an angry text or voicemail warning that you two can play the trash talking game. C, by trying to seduce his best friend. Yup. If that fails, you key his car. Okay. I don't think the second one really matches my personality. I'm not a very violent, aggressive person. I more am into mental manipulation. So that's why I was going to say yes to the seduce the best friend. So I think I'm just going to say B because I do love a voice memo. It says voicemail, but I think I would send a voice memo. Number two, the kind of men you usually find yourself dating best fit the following description. A, so wild, they make the Hangover guys look like the Jonas Brothers. These cultural references are so, like, 2010. B, they work hard and play even harder. C, they're in bed by 11 p.m. on weeknights and 1 a.m. on weekends. Isn't that, like, everybody? C, doesn't that just sound like a normal, adjusted young man who probably has a decent social life, but also values his well-being and his sleep? I would have to say C. That's a stupid question anyway. Okay, number three. Your closest girlfriend always contacts you first when which of these situations arise? A, she craves fun company for a decadent day of shopping or spa treatments. Can't really afford either of those. But in my fantasies, I do those every day. And we're manifesting that. B, she has split with her boyfriend and wants a partner in crime for a very hot night out. C, she wants to sip cocktails at a hip lounge all night and needs a designated driver. Okay, well, not really down to be DD, to be quite honest. If you're drinking, girlfriend, I'm drinking with you. Let's drown our sorrows. Let's talk shit. Let's do some creeping on social media. Let's flirt with some other guys. I'm going to say B. I'm down to be a partner in crime. I'm down to be the Bonnie to your Clyde. Number four, which phrase are you most likely to overhear being said about you? Oh no. A, did I do something to offend her? I am easily offended and very sensitive, so yeah, that's fair. B, does she always act this crazy? Also fair. And C, I want her at my next party. Oh my gosh. Again, they all apply. All very applicable. I'm going to say, fudge, this is a hard one. I'm going to say C because I do find when my social battery is charged and I'm in a good vibe with good people and I've had one or two drinks, I am the life of the party. I love dancing. I love chatting. I love making people laugh. I will literally stand on my head. I will do cartwheels. I don't get messy necessarily, even though everything I just described sounded very messy. But when the vibe is right and the amount of drinks I've had is right, I do liven up a party, so I'm going to say C. Last question, number five. Which is the most outrageous thing you would do for a cold, hard cash? Oh, boy. I'm not really a very money-driven person, to be quite honest, so I'm curious what I'm going to answer for this. A, star in a Girls Gone Wild type video. I would do that for free, honestly. B, sing a seductive pop song like Love Game at a karaoke bar. Wait, are they talking about Love Game by Lady Gaga? In what world is that a seductive song that you'd be embarrassed to sing at a karaoke bar? Wow, times have changed. Like, I can understand not wanting to sing WAP by Cardi B at a karaoke bar, because that's extremely vulgar, but Love Game by Lady Gaga? Let's play a love game, play a love game. Do you want love or you want fame? Are you in? No. C, play strip poker with a co-ed group of friends. Absolutely not. Oh, wait, okay. So the question is, which is the most outrageous thing you would do for cold hard cash? A. I mean, I would probably do all three of those. I would definitely do B. I would sing Lady Gaga any day of the week. But I don't think I would play strip poker. No, I would. If it was a good vibe, if everyone was down, everyone was consenting. But I think Girls Gone Wild would be the craziest thing that I would probably have some ethical deliberations about. But I would probably come around to being like, it's my body, I'm only young once. And I would just probably try to push myself out of my comfort zone. Okay, guys, I'm going to go calculate my results and I'll be back with a self-diagnosis that's going to keep me up tonight. Okay, guys, I am naughty when necessary. Okay. So it says, you maintain a pretty good balance of sugar and spice. You know, I actually feel like that does describe me quite well. You won't take crap from anyone, nor will you play everything safe. Yet you draw the line at being aggressively sexy or vengeful just to turn heads, says psychologist John Valenti, PhD, co-author of Brave New You. Wow, a little plug there. Love that. You know that a sly dig or R-rated gesture can have way more impact than a nasty rant or triple X move. Okay, you lost me a little bit at the end there, but naughty when necessary. I think that's a good way to describe me, and also kind of a good name for a podcast. Should I also start like another podcast? That would be three. Okay, guys, I think I'm going to do one more quiz and then I'm going to call it a night because I'm a grandmother. I'm still naughty when necessary, but I also need to be in bed by 9:30 or else I won't be able to function the next day. So I'm going to pick one more Cosmo quiz and let me know if you guys enjoyed this topic or this episode. Is a little different from what I normally do, but super fun. I had a blast. And it just comes to show you how we have come quite far in terms of the phrasing, the verbiage that we use in society, especially with young women, but we also haven't really come that far at all. And these type of motifs are still seen throughout culture and social media. It's just like more through a TikTok now that you'd probably be exposed to this type of stuff instead of a traditional paper magazine. So let that keep you up at night. Anyway, let's pick a third quiz. Ooh, I'm curious. Okay. There was one about sex, but I got to keep some things close to the chest on this podcast, guys. This one is called, Are You a Closet Commitment Phobe? I am curious to do this one. One, on the way to a blind date, you're most likely thinking, A, if nothing else, at least I'll be... Sorry, I have to zoom in. I'm blind. Honing my flirting skills. B, ugh, setups never ever work. This is going to be a total waste of time. Jesus, negative Nelly, cynical Sally. C, I wonder if he's a good kisser. Okay, no. Because, like, I am not even thinking about kissing on my way to a blind date. Like, I'm just praying to God he's taller than me, to be quite honest. And tall girls know this struggle. I would say you have to have a fine line between optimism and a little bit of cynicism. You know, not get your hopes up too high or else you're going to inevitably be disappointed. But I do think the second one, B, was a little bit too negative. So I'm going to go with A. I like that mentality of like, even if this is a total disaster, it's an experience, it's a story to tell, and it's, I'm opening myself up to the world, you know? Because blind dates are scary, and if you go on one, you're brave, and you should give yourself a pat on the back. So A. Okay, question number two. In a relationship, you tend to be the type who, A, keeps it in when you're annoyed with your man. Why bother arguing? Hey, ex-boyfriends, do you guys want to chime in and answer this one for me? No, that is not me. I don't keep anything in. I don't even know how to begin to keep a frustration inside and just let it dissipate. That's just not my nature. Sorry. B, can get a little emotional when you're upset, but what girl doesn't? Let's just stereotype girls into being super emotional. NC thrives on drama. Loud fights are just fine because they're followed with makeup sex. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to go with three. I do love a little bit of drama. I love a good fight. You know, in that Euphoria episode when Maddie's in the hot tub with that woman and she's saying, I love a good fight, you know, but when it's done well, it's like fighting is an art. And I'm not talking a physical fight or a fight that gets like out of control, but just like a passionate explosion of built up emotion. And you almost feel so much better after because both of you just had all this stuff you had to get off your chest. And you're able to come back together at the end and like find strength and wisdom from it and grow from it. I find that experience very cathartic, healing, and actually somewhat erotic in a way. Does that make me a walking red flag? Potentially. Am I honest? Yes. Next question. You have plans with the guy you're dating on Friday evening, but your closest friends schedule a rowdy girls' night the same time. You, A, reschedule with the guy. Men come and go, but your crew will last forever. B, are tempted to cancel but don't. After all, you made plans with him first. C, girls' night are for desperate chicks trying to land a guy. Okay, that's like a bit sexist and rude. There's no chance you're bailing. Okay, I'm not like for a girls' night, to be honest. It's a little, any sort of night when there's a whole bunch of people involved and you have to balance the plans and desires and emotions of multiple people, whether it be a co-ed situation or just girls, I get extremely flustered and it never ends well. Like there's always one girl that gets too drunk or one girl ditches to go hook up with a guy. Like it's not always a vibe. I love going out with one or two close friends, but if it's like the idea of a bachelorette party gives me massive anxiety because there's just so many people. Does anyone else like relate to what I'm saying? In theory, I love the idea of like a girls' night out, but it really does scare me and intimidate me. So I'm going to go with B. I made plans with this guy and I'm going to honor my word. I'm going to be a woman of my word. And my other friends can just suck it. They should have planned something sooner. Next question. You've lived in your apartment for nearly 12 months. How would you describe the decor? Interesting. You buy something cute each month to try to make it even homier. That's A. B. You have everything you need and not much else. Cannot relate. C. It's full of gorgeous things you love and will keep forever. I'm going to say A because trends come and go with fashion, with social media, with music, and with interior design and decor. So while I have a lot of photos and certain family heirlooms that I keep forever and I treasure them, I don't really want my house to look like an outdated shrine to like my family or something. I want it to just be a hip, fun place that's adaptable and can change based on whatever phase of life I'm in. 5. After a year on the job, you're told you won't get a promotion because your work hasn't been stellar. You know, fair. That's fair. That is fair. You A, write a memo to your boss detailing how you plan to improve on all fronts. Cannot see myself doing that ever in life, ever. B, start looking around for other employment. Yep, where you'll be appreciated. Yep. If I get one critique too many at work, guys, I'm out. I am out. C, double your efforts, but consider that you're not as into your job as you should be. I mean, I guess I do a mixture of B and C. Like I've always tried to go out of every job on a high note where, you know, you can get a reference and you can have positive affiliations. But nah, man, if you make me feel bad about myself or make me feel not valued at work or don't have a little bit of empathy for my anxiety and that type of stuff, if I'm trying my best, I am on indeed.ca. looking for jobs immediately while we're still having the conversation. I'm pulling out my phone and looking for other jobs. Okay, guys, gonna do my calculations and I'll be right back. Okay, I have received my answer and I am steadfast and savvy. Equal parts balanced and bold. You usually know when something's right for you and when to pull the plug. I'd say that's fair. You get that life is about trial and error, says psychotherapist Joanne Magdoff, PhD. Where are they getting these? I mean, I guess it's telling you where they're getting these people. But why would they contribute to Cosmo? Anyway, your thoughtful nature keeps you focused. Maintain your life equilibrium with the same cool head. I wouldn't say I have a cool head. And don't let friends, relationship issues, or drama color the way you respond to your own situations. That's fair. That's good advice, actually. Thank you, Joanne Magdoff, PhD. All right, guys, I'm officially pooped. It's 9:10, which means the countdown is on until my 9:30 p.m. bedtime. I hope everyone is staying safe and well and taking care of themselves out there. Don't forget to do something fun and that makes you feel better today, whether that be meditation or exercise or masturbation or just going on a nature walk. Whatever it is, I recommend you do something like that for yourself today because life is too short. And I am sure that you are trying your best, just like I am. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe to my podcast and share it with a friend or share it on your Instagram story or something like that. Those type of recommendations and getting a few more eyes on the podcast and ears on the podcast is really what makes all the difference. All right. Love you. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see you next week with a new topic. Enjoy your 20s.